The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
And so I'm curious to know, you mentioned like keeping it in the family, and then eventually Nigel came and brought his expertise and fundraising, things like that. What was that like, just adding somebody new to the team? Was it like natural? Was there any pushback? Like what was that process like?
It was natural. This is my brother, right? And I don't look at it any different, right? So I think we've had a really unique relationship, right? Which makes it easy. We've played basketball together, been roommates together, you know, for a very long time. And so I've been in what we can call the trenches and went to war and went to battle and been, you know, at the worst where I've had to stay at his mother's house. He had to stay at mine, and we've struggled together. We worked out together. So really our relationship and dynamic really comes from a place where we've practiced this, right? So it's not like a new thing. So I think with my family in particular, it wasn't like, oh, well, you're bringing somebody in that wasn't already in, right? We already invested in what we do. I'm investing in what he was doing, right? So it was no pushback at all. The only pushback we had was that I didn't know if we wanted to take any, you know, that's a big responsibility, right? Whether it be people your network, whether it be your auntie, whether it be your best friend, whether it be the lady down the street, whether it be Miss Jenkins up the block, like, you know, it's a big responsibility taking $1, 50 cents to be able to invest and change community. It's a heavy weight to take on that responsibility. And, you know, I'm happy that Nadru convinced us to do that. And I think that the community at large that we've been able to work with is happy that we're doing it as well. So I think, you know, to have and create lasting change, you need to, you know, really get out your comfort zone. So I think that was us just getting out of the comfort zone, and you need brothers and family to hold you accountable to help you get out your comfort zone.
Definitely, definitely. Nigel, talk more about that convincing that needed to be done, because, you know, you explained it, makes sense.
Yeah.
But what was it like in practice? Like when just trying to say, you know, hey, I think this is a direction we should go and it can help us grow.
Yeah, of course. So, Wynn and I, we've known each other since middle school, right? So we played basketball together and trying to figure, hey, where do you go to high school, right? So as he said, we're battle tested, right? We went to situations that we weren't supposed to survive or thrive into, right? But when it comes down to taking capital and figuring out who are the right partners to even bring in, right? Because all money, as we say, is not good money. I've been begging this dude, right? Since we were in college, I'm like, Wynn, I'm sending them deals. And I don't have the skill set to look at the deal as technical as he does, but I'm like, dude, we got to do this deal. Like, it's Baltimore, it's 50K, you're working, I'm working, we can handle this. It's not really a big risk, right? But he's like, not yet, right? He's like, not yet. Let's not, you know, let's find the right deal, right? And it's all about when we were coming up and playing sports with our coach, used to always say, you either get exposure, you'll get exposed, right? So he was like, look, we still need to do a little bit more work. We need to find the right deal. Right, because like she said, it's a responsibility to bring other people along for the ride. It's a responsibility where we have to be dedicated. Like, we've committed our life to this, right? So I'm a firm believer that all of my friends are doing well today, but they'll be doing better in the future. And I want to be a part of the reason why they're doing better. We believe that through our different projects, not only can we create opportunity, but we can create opportunity for you to be able to have that millionaire status. which then will allow you to have that millionaire net worth to be able to now start to see passive income, being able to get a part of some of these different venture deals. We've seen the benefit of what real estate can do in our lives. And based off the impact it's had on our life, it was a lot easier to convince him and say, hey, look, why don't we start to bring people along for this ride?
Definitely, definitely. And one of the things Wynn was telling me yesterday is there are, I believe, 48 investors, 80% are from Baltimore,
yeah,
and 60% are Black women. Did I get that right? I was listening.
Yes. Yeah.
Talk about that, because that is really significant, just having that many people from the city who believe in what you're doing, and then to have that many women as well, Black women as well.
Yeah, I would say Black women have been the anchor for us, and just trusting us to do the right thing, right? And like I said, it's a real responsibility. And I think, you know, when you have people from the city bringing their money back, if they can't bring their bodies back, I think that's extremely important, because what that means is that there is worth there and people see it. So if I can't convince you of a place that you love to put your money there, how can I convince somebody else who's never been there, like some of our investors from Houston or from Charlotte or from New Jersey, how can I convince them if you don't believe in it, right? So first, you want to make sure home believes in home, right? And then we can start going out to convince other people. But if we can't have our house in order at first, then it's no way that other people will come in and help us, you know, really rebuild neighborhoods, right? That's what we're in the business of.
Mm-hmm.
Rebuilding neighborhoods, revitalizing neighborhoods. This is a real service. And I know some people may look at it as that, yeah, you're gonna make money. Yeah, of course we are, right? But that's not the only incentive, right? It's our job and our duty to not be compliant with the current conditions in our community.
Definitely, definitely. So we'd love to hear about some of the projects you guys have in the pipeline.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say our premier project, which is, you know, if people want to look up in Baltimore Business Journal, is a 53-unit development in a neighborhood called Irvington, right? This is a, you know, in my opinion, a great neighborhood that's centrally located next to all the major counties, a hospital, St. Agnes Hospital, University of Maryland Baltimore College, located at 95, 12 minutes away from downtown, 12 minutes away from the BWI government contracting area. And then as far as our two federal headquarters, Social Security and Center for Medicare and Medicaid, is about 8 minutes away. So big employment center. There hasn't been any development in 65 years.
Why now, is that?
That's a great question.
Why do you think that is?
That's a great question. I think the biggest reason why it is because we have taken development, which used to be a very entrepreneurial and search for opportunity, and we've really institutionalized it and kind of sanitized it where it only can fit one box and people are no longer being leaders, but they're being followers. So in Baltimore in particular, five neighborhoods receive majority of their development, right? And that, in our opinion, creates opportunity in places like Irvington, who have, you know, majority homeowners, majority Black neighborhood. These other five neighbors are majority white. So, you know, in some sense, there's a mental redlining there that still exists. But then also there's a gap of skilled individuals like ourselves that are willing to take the risk to put a deal like that together. So we can't blame others if we cannot blame ourselves for the compliant conditions that we have. So that project in particular will have, you know, 53 units, like I mentioned, a gym, which is an amenity, a building that size is a great amenity. You don't really get that. A community, a space that's about 1,300 square feet. And then what we'll have, which is the first food forest that's in a multifamily development. And I don't mean like, you know, urban farm and garden. There will be some raised beds. But what I mean by food forest is passively being able to go pick fruit, blueberries, peaches, apples, where now is a place not just for education of how to feed yourself, but a place to commune, right? So are we creating buildings as a product, or are we creating communities, right? So for us, I think all our buildings have that consistent note of community and creating moments where we can touch. So that's one of them. Down the street, we're still in this neighborhood called Irvington. We'll have an 85-unit development, a little bit higher, mixed-use development that will have all those same amenities that we have, but the only difference, it will be four stories taller, right? Wow. And you'll have downtown views, and you'll have the same, you know, geographic amenities that we'll have. And then we'll have one of the Baltimore has one of the like biggest what's called redevelopment areas in the state of Maryland called Park Heights. It's the biggest in the area. So if there's a place that needs to be redeveloped in Maryland, Park Heights is one of them. That's why I was just at the Preakness this weekend. The Preakness is where everybody converges every year for the second jewel to the Triple Crown, mm-hmm. right? So we have the biggest private development that will happen in Park Heights, right? All the public developments that have happened are happening now, but we'll have the biggest private development to date and the first private transit-oriented development at Rogers Avenue Station. So that's 289 units, over 10,000 square feet for commercial. And we will house our office there as well. And that will serve as our headquarters as Park Heights comes through a resurgence. And I also am building my house right across the street. So I don't have
y'all just buying everything.
Yeah. You're not done either. You're not done.
Right. Yeah. So and then we have, you know, we're downtown. We have a 25 unit mixed use building downtown. Being from Baltimore, it's a dream of mine to have something on West Baltimore Street.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.